My name is Ben Bailey, the minister for the Central Church of Christ. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
I love to find a good bargain. I'm a bargain hunter by nature, and I'm always looking for some good bargain to find. Now, I'm not talking about going into a department store and shopping. I hate that kind of shopping. My wife likes to shop, but I don't like that at all. I'm talking about finding something for a little of nothing. And even if it's broke or halfway broke, fixing it up and then having the joy of knowing that you made that work, that you got that for just little or nothing. And I've done fairly good at it. For several years, I would stop at a dent and ding store and look for things, and I never found anything with too many dents or too many dings for me. Never found a garage sale that I didn't like. Never found a day-old bread store that was too old. You can always find a deal if you're looking for one. Several years back, I went to a salvage store, and the fella had about four pallets worth of things that just weren't any good to him anymore. Most of it was stuff that had been returned to stores, and he didn't want to have fixed it or didn't have time to, and so I bought four pallets of what my wife calls junk for about $75. It was about 30 coffee pots, about 10 toaster ovens, found two safes in it, bunch of weed eaters, and half of it didn't work. But the good thing was, what was broke on one wasn't broke on the other. So out of about 15 coffee pots, I turned up about six that would work. Took that $75 investment and turned it into about a $400 garage sale. I thought I did pretty good there. I've made some pretty good bargains. But you know, I've also made some real bad bargains in time. I think especially, and I hate to tell this, and probably all of us have been in a situation like this before, but one of those nights when you just can't sleep and you're watching late night television. Friends, I'll tell you, the good actors are not on primetime television. The good actors are on late night television. They can sell you about anything. And so here I am. It's late one night, and I'm watching late-night television and got these infomercials going on. And I see this guy. He's all suave. He comes on. He's got this good story. For pennies on the dollar, he's going to sell you a kit that'll tell you how to buy foreclosed property for a little or nothing. And I thought, boy, I'd like to buy some of that. That looks like a good bargain. So I call up the number, and I buy me one of those kits and can't wait to get it in the mail. And it comes in the mail, and I open it up, and you talk about letting the air out of the balloon. It didn't take long. You couldn't understand half of it. What you could understand was worthless, and the rest of it, you could have went to the county clerk and found out for yourself. I got that kit, and I thought, man, I'm going to really hit it big with this, and it was the worst bargain in my life. Have you ever made any bad bargains in your life? You ever bought something, and you thought, boy, this is a real steal, only to find out it was worthless? You ever traded something for something else, and then you thought to yourself just a few moments later, oh, I wish I hadn't have made that trade? Friend, if you've ever made a bad bargain, I'll guarantee it's not as bad as the one Esau made. If you haven't opened your Bible up there, I want you to open up to Genesis chapter 25. We're going to be looking in verses 27 through 34. The passage that Brother David read for us this morning. The context is Jacob and Esau have been rivals before birth, likely. One had a hold of the other's foot when he was coming out. Jacob did. He was the deceiver, the supplanter. Esau, he came out first, though, and so he was given the birthright. But in the process of events, it looks like now that Esau is going to trade that, and he does, and makes a horrible bargain. He trades his birthright for a bowl of stew. Well, let's think, first of all, what was it? What was it exactly that Esau gave up? What is a birthright? That's Old Testament terminology and not something we're real familiar with. If you were the firstborn and you got the birthright, what would that mean to you? What did it mean to Esau, and why did Jacob want it so bad? Well, here's what the birthright really was. The birthright was something that guaranteed and promised the firstborn a double portion of the father's inheritance. According to Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17, if you were born first, you received twice the inheritance. That is, if a father had two sons and he had $100,000, or let's say $100, $1,000 to give to him, he'd divide that equally. Naturally, most fathers would divide that equally. 50 to one, 50 the other. Not so if you were the firstborn. You got two portions. You counted it as three people, and the firstborn got two portions of the father's inheritance. 100,000 acres, you get twice as much as the other. And so there's a great deal of worth and value given in the birthright. But what else did the birthright mean? The birthright also, one who was the firstborn served as the priest for the family. You can see this in the life of Abraham. Abraham seems to lead his family in worship. He seems to be the one who offers those sacrifices. Noah gets off the ark and he does the same thing for his family. And you look at Job, and Job offers sacrifices for his children and for his family. And so not only did you get a double portion of inheritance, you also had the privilege and the honor as serving a priest for the family. You were the one who went between the family and God. What else did a birthright represent? A birthright also carried with it a great deal of respect and honor. When Esau walked in the room, people said, "There is Isaac's firstborn. He has the birthright." There's a lot of honor. There's a lot of respect. Carrying that privilege, that name, guaranteed you that in life. But a birthright also included, and this is probably the most important, it carried with it the spiritual blessing of the father on the firstborn. Look in Genesis 27 with me for just a minute. Look at Genesis 27. I want you to see here, the spiritual blessing of the father was placed upon the firstborn. Notice Genesis 27, verse 27. Isaac is now old. Jacob tricks his brother. And notice Genesis 27, verse 27. He came near, he said, and kissed me, my son. He came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and let nations bow down to you." And so there's this sense in which a spiritual blessing was placed on this person. May God prosper you and bless your life. And thus, it was highly praised for that blessing. Also, the birthright meant that anything that was the firstborn, according to Exodus chapter 22, verses 29 through 31, anything that was the firstborn was dedicated to God in a very special way. Firstborn of the field, firstborn of the flock, first fruits of the field, that was dedicated to God as sacrifice. So there was that sense in which it was going to be special, dedicated to the Father. Now that's what the birthright meant in the Old Testament. You may say, well, how does that apply to me today? What does the lesson of Esau and Jacob and the birthright that he gave up and all that means, what does that mean to me today? Friends, do we not realize as children of God, we have that birthright? Each one of us, it doesn't matter if you're the first one born into the kingdom. What matters is if you're a child of God, you have a birthright from the Father. I want you to notice how it parallels what the birthright meant in the Old Testament. You remember? The birthright meant that the firstborn got a double portion. Friend, you get a full portion of heaven itself. We're not talking about land. We're not talking about dollars. We're not talking about homes or cars. If I'm a child of God, as the blessing of the birthright, I receive a full portion of heaven itself. What more could you want in this life? Romans 8, verses 16 through 18. Paul said, "I consider that the sufferings of this present world, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Anything you could think of in this life compared to heaven, that's just a drop in the bucket. Jesus said in John 14, 1, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. Were it not so, I would have told you." What's the birthright mean? I get to live with God in heaven, and I have full access to all of the beauty and splendor of that wonderful place. But then I want you to notice as well, not only does it mean that we have a full access to heaven, but just as the firstborn in the Old Testament was priest for the family, all of us are a royal priesthood today. You are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says in Revelation 1 verse 6, we are a kingdom of priests. 1 Peter 2, 5, Revelation chapter 20, we are that royal lineage through which God worked in the Old Testament, working in us today as well. Now you say, okay, that's all good and well, but we don't offer animal sacrifices. We're not going to do those things today. That's true. But think about Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. We offer up spiritual sacrifices, the praise of our lips. As a child of God, I don't need a priest. I don't need a go-between between me and God to make sacrifice for me. I can approach God myself through prayer, through singing, through giving, through worship, through the acts that God has given us. And so it is a privilege to be a part of the kingdom, to have access to this birthright. But you know, just as we discussed that the Old Testament birthright carried with it a great deal of honor, a great deal of reverence. Esau walks in the room and everybody turns their head. There's Isaac's firstborn. We also wear a name that is highly revered. We have the privilege and the honor today of wearing the name Christian. Friends, there is no greater name. Of all the things you could say about somebody in the world, from being a rocket scientist to being a great leader, the greatest thing you could ever say, that person is a Christian. Acts 11, verse 26, the Bible says they were called Christians first in Antioch. It's that name God prophesied of. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2, God said, when the Gentiles see my righteousness, I'll call my people by a new name. And oh, what a beautiful name it is to wear. As Peter thought about this, he said in 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffers as a Christian, listen, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. It is the name by which we honor and glorify God in heaven. Sadly, Agrippa said in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. Friend, there's no greater honor today than wearing the name of Christ and being a Christian. But just like under the Old Testament birthright, one of the highest prized and values part of the birthright was the blessing that was received, the spiritual blessing, we as Christians have that same thing today. Do we realize that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you have the love of God in your life. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You have the forgiveness of all your past sins, all those things you might have done that you're ashamed of, you can have those wiped away. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. You have the mercy of God. Lamentations 3, verses 20 and 21 says we're saved by the mercy of God. We have the avenue of prayer. I can get down on my hands and knees and I can approach God in prayer. And the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And I have one of the greatest blessings of all, being a part of the family of God, having brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage and help me in this life. And then finally, our birthright is representative of the Old Testament birthright in the sense that our lives must also be completely dedicated to God. Whatever came out of the field first, they offer that to God. The first fruits of the flock, they offered those to God. Whatever is firstborn is dedicated to God in a special way. And when I obeyed the gospel, when I became a Christian, and when you became a Christian, we were in essence saying we were going to dedicate ourselves to God. Remember Mark 12, verse 30? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what God wants. The Bible says we're to be a living sacrifice. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And Paul could not have put it any better. When he said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I've been crucified with Christ. Listen, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so I must be dedicated to God and give my life to Him. And so that's what Esau had. This is what we have. Now let's look at the rest of the story. I want you to see why Esau gave up all of that. His inheritance, being priest, the spiritual blessing, the honor that went along with that. Why would you ever give up on something like that? You're going to be amazed why Esau does it. Look back with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 25 and notice what it is that causes Esau to sell his birthright. Beginning in verse 29, the Scripture says, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold him his birthright. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. And from that point on, the Bible says, he despised his birthright." Now, friends, I want you to think about this for just a minute. Everything that Isaac owned, all the wealth, all the power, all the honor, can you believe Esau sold that for a bowl of beans? Now, friends, my grandma made some really good beans. You could walk in the door on a hot summer day. Those beans have been cooking in the crock pot all night. Oh, they were good. But would you sell your birthright? Look at verse 28 and 29. Bread and stew of lentils. What is that? Very likely some kind of bean stew. Would you sell your birthright for a bowl of bean soup? Esau says, "I'm weary." He says, "What good is it to me? I'm about to die." Was he really that tired? Was he really about to die? Is God going to leave one of his own to die? What does Psalm 37:25 say? The Bible says, David speaking said, "I've been old, I've been young, and now I'm old." And he says, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Esau wasn't that tired. Esau wasn't that hungry. And it wasn't the case that God wouldn't help him. What's the problem then? Let's get the rest of the story in Hebrews 12. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's see what was really the problem with Esau. Hebrews chapter 12 comments on this exact scene and tells us why Esau did that. Hebrews 12, let's begin reading in verse 14. The Bible says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble." Now watch this. "And by this many become defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." What was wrong with Esau? The word profane means unholy. He didn't regard what was given him as holy from God, as of value. He just saw it as another item. He didn't take advantage of all that he had. Can you imagine that? Here's what it'd be like. Can you imagine Bill Gates selling all his wealth for a bowl of chicken noodle soup? Now, friends, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who had great wealth. Isaac was a very wealthy man, a man of great power, and Esau gave all that up for a bowl of beans. We say to ourselves, how could Esau do that? And yet, are we any different? Have you ever given up and forfeited the benefits and blessings you have as a Christian for something just as trivial? You know, we look at Esau and we're astounded at what he did. We're appalled at the decision he made. And yet, I promise you, each one of us has stood in the shoes of Esau. Each one of us has given up on the blessings we have for something worthless. For example, have you ever traded in all the blessings of Christianity for worldliness? The Bible says in James 4, verse 4, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity?" He says, "Therefore, whoever makes himself a friend of the world has become God's enemy." Have you ever let things of this world get between you and God? I want that new car, or I want that new home, or I've got to have these things of the world. The world and all that is in it is going to burn up with a fervent heat. But those who do the will of God, they're the ones who will survive. 2 Peter 3, verses 9 through 12. Have you ever let the lust and the pleasures of the flesh cause you to give up on the blessings you have? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, that the fleshly lust is at war with God. We're not to let those things get in the way of serving God. You ever let your passions get in the way of you really doing what you ought to? Make bad decisions because that's what your body, what you felt like you needed? That's what Esau did. What was Esau's whole mindset when Jacob approached him? He was hungry. He thought he's about to die, and he acted on impulse. Just take this one drink. I promise you it'll be okay. You do that. Do you realize what you're giving up? For one beer. For one hit off of marijuana. For one, and you put the dot in. You fill in the blank. You would sell heaven itself. You would give up on the privilege of being a child of God just for the lust of the flesh. Esau is like us in many ways because sometimes people give up on these things over ignorance of God and the Scripture. Sometimes we don't search the Scripture like we ought to really do those things that are pleasing to God. And so is Esau really that different from us? Not at all. Have you ever made a bad bargain that you knew would cost you your soul? Maybe you've made that bad bargain and you've not made it right with God. Maybe you've never taken care of that sin problem in your life. Don't be like Esau. Esau goes down in Bible history as an unholy and godless man. Friend, if you've sold out on all that you had as a child of God for something mundane and of this world, won't you make it right this morning? Won't you find a place for repentance? Esau never found a place for repentance. Won't you do that this morning? The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, that we're to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. If you need the help of the church, you need to make your sin right today, we want to help you to do that. If you've not obeyed the gospel, friend, you've not got access to the birthright yet. You don't have the privileges that we talked about. But the good news is you can. You can obey the gospel today and become a child of God.